Well, Anthony Dapperan is a Hong Kong-based lawyer, writer and author of the book City of Protest, A Recent History of Dissent in Hong Kong. I spoke with him a short time ago.
It's really very different to previous protests. Firstly, in terms of how long it's gone on now, for already almost coming up on 2 months. And secondly, the level of violence is really something that Hong Kong hasn't seen since the late 1960s. Finally, this protest movement is extremely agile, fast-moving, and ever-changing, that the protesters using this slogan, Be Water, to sort of describe the way they move about the city and have these sort of mobile protests. So it's really very different to anything that Hong Kong's seen before.
Does anyone know what the red line is? What would the protesters need to do for the next stage of reaction to come from Chinese and or Hong Kong officials?
It seems that already, you know, Beijing and the Hong Kong officials are very alarmed at some of the actions from the protesters. Anything that is targeting symbols of Beijing's authority in Hong Kong is going to be sensitive. And the protesters have already been doing that. And it seems that now Hong Kong and the Beijing authorities are doing their best to clamp down, with gradually increasing the level of policing to very aggressive new levels, and also I think spreading out the propaganda war throughout Hong Kong and mainland China, targeting the protesters. The absolute bottom line for Beijing is, of course, challenging Beijing's rule over Hong Kong and anything that might suggest Hong Kong could be independent or have some self-determination in any way. And so anything the protesters do that approaches that red line will send off alarm bells in Beijing.
And what about the bottom line for the protesters? What would it take from the Hong Kong or Beijing officials to get the protesters to go home, go back to university, go back to work?
Well, one of the challenges the government faces is, of course, this is a famously leaderless movement. It's very organic, but there's not really anyone for them to negotiate with. The protesters have set down a number of key demands, and I would think that if the government were willing to meet them halfway on a few of those, probably that would cause at least the majority of people who are supporting the protesters to believe that, you know, there was enough there to work with and that there was no need to continue the protests, notwithstanding some of the more extreme people may stay on at the front line. But a couple of things the government could do is to formally withdraw that extradition bill that started this whole movement, announce an independent inquiry into the police actions over the last couple of months, and also have some kind of concession towards beginning a discussion of political reforms in Hong Kong, which in fact were abandoned after the Umbrella Movement protests 5 years ago. With those steps, I think that would be enough to keep people happy that there was no need to stay on the streets week after week, and there was something the government was willing to discuss with them. But short of that, I think the protests will continue.
And if we look over the horizon, for those people who aren't familiar with the deal, what is the deal in 2047? What happens next for Hong Kong if things go to plan?
So Beijing had promised that from the handover in 1997, nothing would change in Hong Kong for 50 years. And that included Hong Kong being having a separate legal system, having a separate currency, being a what's called the one country, two systems model, where Hong Kong is effectively part of China and ultimately ruled by Beijing, but operates as its own separate entity. Now, after 2047, that could well continue. The promise is just that it would last at least until 2047. But what I think we should probably expect is that while the Hong Kong economic and legal system may continue after that time, political freedoms will probably be wound back to make Hong Kong look a little more like the rest of China, whatever China is looking like at that point.
Has 2047 come into sharper focus given the events of the past couple of months?
Yes, absolutely. And I think one of the things that has been triggering or giving fire to this whole protest movement is the sense that 2047 is happening much earlier than people were expecting. And things like this extradition bill that prompted these protests and various other curtailment of freedoms and liberties in Hong Kong have been the kind of thing that people were perhaps expecting in 2047, but not expecting now. And so there is that sense that Beijing is advancing the timetable. And so this is very much at the forefront of people's minds.
What's the generational dynamic of what's happening? The views of younger and older Hong Kongers on this issue and the protests and 2047, is there much difference, or does it not have that kind of demarcation line?
It does to a certain extent, and certainly the people at the front lines of the protesters, the people who are there week in, week out, are predominantly young people, university students or recent graduates or other young people. And they are the ones that seem to be most passionate about these issues. That said, they are supported by a very broad cross-section of the community. So even if the people aren't standing there at the front lines, the middle-class and working-class families, people from across the demographic spectrum, young and old, have been coming out on some of these protest marches. And I think we probably will expect that this coming weekend, when a large march is expected to protest the police violence of recent weeks. And I think we will again see that cross-section of the community coming out to support the younger protesters on that sort of occasion.
What do we know about how much of this news is reaching mainland China, ordinary people in China?
Well, in the last couple of weeks, the mainland Chinese authorities have really ramped up the propaganda efforts, including inside mainland China, and are allowing news about the Hong Kong protests to spread, but very much framing them as chaos in Hong Kong being fomented by foreign governments looking to cause trouble with China, young, out-of-control delinquents in Hong Kong who are causing trouble. So it's very much being used by Beijing as a propaganda weapon now to spread their message throughout China. And this is one of the things that is actually quite worrying, or should be quite worrying, for the protesters in Hong Kong. Previously, all news about the protests had been blocked off from mainland China, and the fact that they're now allowing this to circulate, allowing people on social media in mainland China to discuss and criticize the protests, suggests that Beijing is taking a harsh line and is willing to swing the propaganda machine to support it.
Let me finish up by asking you the impossible question. What happens next?
It is a difficult question to answer, just because both sides seem so entrenched. Beijing, in their recent statements in the past couple of days, have very clearly stated they don't intend to give any of the concessions that the protesters are asking for. They have given very harsh warnings to the protesters and even described the protesters as having characteristics of terrorism. On the other hand, the protesters have been continuing to come out week after week, also showing no signs of backing down. And every time the government acts and the police act, it seems to create new events that sparks more anger and more people coming out to protest. So I really don't see any short-term conclusion to the current dynamic that we're seeing at play here, and it may go on for quite some time.
Anthony Dapperan, thank you for joining us on PM.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
That was Anthony Dapperan, a Hong Kong-based lawyer and writer.